Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of Money Talk. I'm Neil Kreisel and Diane Duvernay are your hosts every week right here on AM 1290, FM 96.9, and streaming at AM1290KZSB.com. We're repeated at 11 and on Saturdays at 6. We're brought to you by Cornerstone Home Lending, whose highly trained and experienced team takes great pride in helping people with home financing, offering competitive rates and a wide array of loan programs. American Riviera Bank, smart banking for smart people in Santa Barbara at Figueroa and Anacapa Streets in Montecito's Upper Village. And Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm in Santa Barbara, providing its clients with the personal care and attention of a small independent firm coupled with the vast resources of a major financial institution.
Hi, Neil. How are you today?
Well, I had no one to have lunch with.
I know. It's a depressing day for you. So you had your peanut butter and jelly, right?
Yes.
Did you spice it up with some potato chips?
Well, you know what's interesting? I usually go for like 10 years to 12 years with a particular thing. So when I moved here, I was on chicken salad. That lasted 9 years. And then I went to turkey. And now I'm on peanut butter.
Okay, we got to move on to the rate. We're all going to be asleep here.
I thought you were very interested in this, but no, huh?
So we have with us today, Neil Smith, who's a partner at Cross Country Consulting. Neil, thanks so much for spending time with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to spending the time with you both.
So the first article is actually three articles, which is no surprise because they're all about the collapse of FTX, the crypto disaster. And I could have picked obviously more than three. It's been in the news for the last 9 days. But these three, I think, are representative of what in fact happened and what the implications are for the market as a whole. The first article from the New York Times is entitled To Fund Risky Bets, FTX Tapped Customer Accounts. And what's so interesting about that is if you look at Madoff and other disasters, it was basically helped along by the fact that people didn't use custodian accounts. And it's, you know, really beyond me. Even if you, you know, have your account in Bank of America, you should put your money, have the money actually sitting in some other institution as a custodian, so that there's a check on whether or not the money is really there. So the first issue about in this article is the lack of custodians. The second thing that's interesting is the raison d'etre for all of these cryptocurrencies was a way to get government out of money. And in the article, it says the problem is there's no government support here. So the paradox is they're failing for the very reason, the only reason I can think of that they exist is if you happen to have a philosophical belief that we are better off as a society to have money outside of government, when in fact it's government that has supported all of these crises over, well, certainly over this American history. And the last thing about this article that I think is interesting is that they anticipated, this article is a week old, a contagion. And we saw in the last 4 days, Coinbase, which is supposedly a better company, lose 25% of its value, 8% today. And so you're seeing, if there is anything as good crypto, you're seeing all crypto being punished. So when you have a class of stock that is impacted by something negative, it usually impacts the entire industry. And that's what's happening right here.
And oftentimes when we talk about diversification, that's exactly what we mean. When you look at a whole sector, in this case, one could argue that it's not backed by much in terms of assets or value. Many people don't believe that crypto has value in and of itself. However, when you get one industry in a particular sector taken out, it really does a number on the rest of the companies, regardless of their own balance sheets.
The second article is entitled Alameda, which was the sister company that the founder had created to trade. It says Alameda's FTX executives were aware that customer funds, again, deposits that people made thinking of it thinking of FTX as a substitute for a bank, was lent to the sister company, Almeida, who then invested it in speculative investments, which is what basically caused the downfall and the liquidity crisis. And the evidence seems to support this notion that the executives knew, in fact, that these loans were being funded by depositors, and yet they invested it, apparently, in the liquid venture funds. They weren't even investing it in the stock market. They were investing it in venture funds.
Something that you need to keep aware in people's mind is that these companies were run by 28-year-olds. They both, you know, the founder of it, as well as the woman that ran Alameda for him, they weren't even 21 in 2015. So I think as investors, we need to be wary of management when you invest in specific companies.
So you're telling me it's good to be old. So I'm glad I'm old, right? Is that good?
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay, thank you.
And the
third article is an article in the Wall Street Journal that investors who lost money and put money into it are taking some heat. And apparently, when Bankman-Fried, who was the founder, made pitches to investors, he was incredibly nasty. And he, just like Madoff, said, "You don't like it, don't invest." He didn't answer questions. He wasn't very forthcoming. And yet they continued to invest. And at the bottom of the article, they talk about some of the investors who lost their money. And one of them, as an example, was the Ontario Teachers Pension Plan. So you have a pension plan investing in not only a very esoteric type of investment, but when they went to roadshows, they were not treated very well. So if you're a fiduciary in a pension fund, would you put your money into a place where the people who are looking for money are treating you without much respect? Quite a story.
Yes, it is.
The next article is about Zelle. Diane, have you heard of Zelle? Z-E-L-L?
I have, and I've used Zelle before.
Okay, well, Zelle is an alternative to, among other things, Venmo and PayPal. And they're running around telling people that, unlike Venmo and PayPal and other systems, they are not subject to the new rules that go into effect that will require reporting on a 1099 any type of received money. So it used to be, if you receive money from a sale of something on PayPal, you would not have to pay taxes. You would not get a 1099 unless it was over $20,000. The new law is down to 600. So what basically it's doing is anyone that receives money from one of these apps is going to get a 1099, and presumably they're going to have to prove that the receipt was in exchange for something that was valued at a higher number than they received, or they'd have to pay taxes. So Zelle is saying they're exempt. And the reason they're saying that is because they're technically different from Venmo. They essentially are owned by various large banks. And so the transactions take place between two banks, where Venmo sits in the middle between institutions. And that distinction in the bill, apparently, is enough to make Zelle believe that you can be less careful with them. And, you know, even they advise people to be honest and report. But I think it's going to create some real issues, because if you don't self-report and you do have large amounts of, or even anything over $600, the IRS could in fact go after you.
It's a real issue. I'm not sure how they're going to monitor it between college kids going out for drinks and Venmoing each other $5 every day, because that's pretty much what Venmo is used for mostly.
Yeah, and the $600 threshold is pretty low, particularly if you're young and went to college in Washington, D.C.
Exactly. That could be $15 every day. Come on.
So the last article today is really interesting. It's on Heard on the Street in the Wall Street Journal this Sunday, and it's about the buyback boom that went bust. And apparently everyone anticipated this to be a really big year for buybacks, corporate buybacks, because corporations had so much cash. And in fact, in the first 6 months of the year, buybacks were pretty strong. And then the bottom fell out. And in the third quarter, you had 22% less buybacks of S&P 500 companies. And so that's interesting. But what it's really made me want to look at this article is at the bottom of the article, it talks about where buybacks, in fact, have continued to take place. And there's something I never heard of. I wonder if our guest has heard of it. But basically, it's called sterilization of...
Well, you might have heard of it, but maybe not in this context.
Well, it's in this context, it's of options. Apparently, if you have a company that gives options to employees and the employees exercise the options, if you buy back your own shares to, in fact, keep your outstanding shares the same before the employees decided to exercise their options, there's no tax. But if you do a buyback where there is a benefit to the company, where shares are actually reduced and earnings are increased, you actually have to pay a gain. So only place that companies are really doing it now is to what's called sterilization, which is to offset the increase in shares as a result of option executions. Anyway, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah,
you're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 and FM 96.9, and we'll be right back.
For prospective homebuyers, one of the most important steps of the loan process is getting clear and honest information from someone who will speak plainly and truthfully about loan programs and options.
I'm Kelly Marsh, Vice President, California, of Cornerstone Home Lending, where our highly skilled and experienced team takes great pride in helping clients obtain home financing with honest, knowledgeable, fast, friendly, and efficient service. As a Santa Barbara native who has spent the past 20 years in the mortgage industry and has closed over 4,000 loans, I'd appreciate the opportunity to earn your business and invite you to visit the KellyMarshTeam.com or call my office at 805-563-1100 to learn more about how Cornerstone Home Lending can help you determine the best way to manage mortgage debt to achieve a more stable financial future.
Licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. California Residential Mortgage Lending Act license number 41DB072220. California Financial Lending Law license number 60DB072528. Loan originator NMLS number 245822. Not a commitment to loan. Equal housing opportunity.
Welcome, everybody, and thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Smokey Colbert, filling in for Smokey on his birthday, because after 75 years of...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Turns out there's much more to say. Just look at the news. Nearly 90% of wildfires are caused by us humans being careless. And I'm not just talking about obvious things like campfires or letting your totally sweet nephew, Francis, play with matches. I'm talking about dumping your used barbecue coals willy-nilly or parking your car on tall, dry grass. That can lead to poof! Guess the song was wrong. We did start the fire. But listen, being a South Carolinian, I respect Mother Nature and her trees, whether coniferous, deciduous, or new car scented. So if you love the outdoors like me, go to smokeybear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention, because fire safety is always in season. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Cornerstone Home Lending. Since 1988, a mortgage banker, a direct lender that believes in providing in-depth loan consulting to its customers in a personalized and honest manner.
And we can be reached at 805-564-1290, or you could email us at moneytalk1290@gmail.com. If you're just joining us, we have the pleasure of having Neil Smith with us, who's a partner at Cross Country Consulting. Neil, thanks so much for being here with us today.
Thanks for having me. Looking forward to spending the time with you.
So first, let's start off with where are you from and how did you come from Washington, D.C. area? That's where you're currently living. And how did you make your way to Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, so I grew up in South Carolina in the upstate, very close to Clemson. where, you know, a lot more people know about Clemson now than they did when I was growing up, thanks to the football team's success over the years. But when I was graduating high school, I knew I wanted to get a change in scenery. And Washington, D.C. was always kind of at the top of my list. So I was lucky enough to get into George Washington University and came to school there, which is where I met you, Diane.
I was going to say, and beyond and other things, we became friends.
Most importantly, we became friends. Also, equally importantly, I met my wife there, and she's a local girl. She grew up here in the D.C. area. So when we graduated college and got our first jobs, we were lucky enough to find consulting jobs here in the D.C. area. And it's become home ever since. We did live on the West Coast for a couple of years before kids. So that was over 20 years ago. We love the West Coast, huge fans of Santa Barbara, especially. But when we decided to start our families, it made more sense for us to do that here where our families live.
So tell us about your consulting career, because it's been very varied. You've worked for lots of consulting companies, some of the big names, as well as some really startup companies. Tell us what drew you to consulting and what really, why you continue to pursue your career in that field.
When I graduated from GW with an English major, I knew I wanted to get into business, but I wasn't exactly sure what field, and obviously not a lot of companies were interested in hiring English majors back in the day. So I was lucky enough to join Arthur Andersen Business Consulting out of college here in DC. And at the time, Andersen had recently done its transaction to spin off Andersen Consulting, which became Accenture. So the practice that I joined was Arthur Andersen's new business consulting practice. And I had an incredible experience there. Arthur Andersen was a really world-class organization that treated its employees with kindness and made investments in our training and development, and gave us opportunities to do a lot of wonderful work with wonderful clients. So I had a great experience at Arthur Andersen, was there until the company shut down in 2002. And at that point, Nadia and I were living in San Francisco, so I had transferred out there. And the practice that I belonged to was acquired by KPMG Consulting, which became Bearing Point. So I think lots of folks are familiar with the Andersen story, but the company obviously was shut down as a result of the Enron scandal. And so a bunch of our Andersen colleagues just kind of scattered to different companies, and some went to industry, some went to other big four firms. My practice happened to go to KPMG Consulting, which became Bearing Point. And I was with Bearing Point for a couple of months until we moved back to the DC area. And upon returning to DC, I reconnected with a couple of other former Andersen alumni or fellow Andersen alumni, one of whom had started his own consulting business. Eric Lynn had started the company called Cap Advisory. It was made up primarily of former Big Four auditors and consultants who wanted to come together and be part of a smaller company that was very focused on amazing culture, but also serving our clients the way that we did when we were with a Big Four. So for me, it was kind of this eye-opening opportunity to do the type of work that I had loved to do with Andersen and Bearing Point, to work with really premier clients, and more importantly, to work with high caliber professionals, the pedigree of professional that I was used to working with, but doing it in this small organization where we really all knew each other very personally and cared deeply about the culture and the way that we work together. And so this really became the foundation for Cross Country, which is the company that I'm with today. There's a lot of stories in between Cap Advisory and Cross Country, but maybe I'll just pause there and see where else you wanted to go, Diane.
So, you know, in terms of, let's touch on that, you know, culture, because you brought that up not only with your experience with Arthur Andersen, but really, reconnecting with your fellow alumni. You know, I think it's important to note that, you know, you're in speaking with some of your employees at Cross Country, you know, they always tout the unique and amazing work culture. And how did you make that happen, especially in today's environment where it's really tough to find good quality talent and retain them? How were you able to capture on that culture piece?
Yeah, so it really does go all the way back to the original experience at Arthur Andersen that Eric and Roderick and Dave Kay and myself all had, along with many others who have found their way to Cross Country. as I described before, I mean, Anderson was just such a wonderful world-class organization. And when we started, or when Eric started Cap Advisory, and we were kind of busy building that company, we were very aware of, as I mentioned before, just how important culture was to the people who were joining the team. And what does that mean, right? I mean, culture is such a nebulous word. I think for us, it's just the definition of it was how it felt when we interacted with each other, how it felt when we interacted with our clients. And it translates, I think, to people who have high EQ, people who are really aware of how others feel. And it's a hard thing to kind of describe, but I think you kind of know it when you see it or know it when you're working with it. And so the challenge at Cross Country when we, you know, started the company in 2011 was, how do you try to codify that? How do you try to take this concept of culture and make it more real in the form of using words and core values? So the first thing that we did as a company, as a founding team, when we started the company in 2011, was sat down with the dozen or so employees that we had. And we said, what do we want our core values to be? You know, there's an expression that culture eats strategy for breakfast. And I don't think that we were necessarily thinking that at the time, but that is essentially what we felt. It was the first thing that we need to nail down is, what do we want this company to feel like? And what do we want our core values to be? So we did this great kind of 2-hour working session with our team, and we came up with our 4 core values: excellence, energy, collaboration, and impact. And each of those, we were very thoughtful about kind of defining and characterizing what those core values mean. But those 4 core values became the whole underpinning for everything that we do at Cross Country. And it defines not just who we hire, but also how we think about growing the business, and the type of clients that we take on.
I assume that you don't have Musk as a client. Is that a good assumption?
You can plead the fifth. You can't say.
Yes, I actually, we have done a little bit of work there.
Exactly. So to that point, you know, that culture piece, I think it's important to share that you've grown Cross Country Consulting to over 800 employees in 5 countries in just over 10 years. How have you been able to maintain that culture piece through those 800 employees coming from a dozen or so?
It's just such a humbling thing to hear you say
It's something you should be really proud of. That's amazing.
We are incredibly proud. And what we're most proud of is the fact that we have been able to keep the culture strong, you know, even in spite of our growth. We have goal setting that we do here at Cross Country. And one of our perennial goals is make our culture even more exceptional. So I think, you know, you cited the awards that we've won and the employee feedback that we've gathered you know, that's available through Glassdoor. None of that has been curated. That's all genuine employee feedback. The ratings, the awards that we've won are very genuine. And I think it would be easy for us, and it would have been easy for us years ago, right, to say.
Oh, Neil, I think you got muted there.
I did. I just muted myself. How about that?
There you go.
Sorry about that. It would have been very easy for us to say, we've got this culture thing figured out, and we're going to now just focus on growth. But instead, what we've said is very consciously, we have to keep actively working on culture. And I think that manifests itself in lots of ways. Every time we have a leadership team meeting, the first thing we do is talk about our people and people-related aspects of the business. When we hire leaders, we focus not only on their leadership style and their leadership experience, but also that EQ level that I talked about before. We also have a very thoughtful, extended onboarding process for our new leaders so that they're learning not just kind of how we do business, but also how we lead, how we engage with our people and what our expectations are. So long story short, like, there's no silver bullet to culture, right? But I think what's different at Cross Country is that we think about it and work on it all the time. It's our number one priority as a company and as a leadership team.
And when you consult with a company, do you not only act appropriately, but do you try to instill in them the same types of values, showing them that that works for every company and that they should, if they're a little bit rough around the edges, they ought to consider changing the way they operate?
No, I don't think we ever try to, extend our culture into our clients, but we do try to make sure that we're being very thoughtful about how we're engaging with our clients and adjusting our style to meet them where they are.
You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 and FM 96.9, and we'll be right back.
When a bank is owned by the community and invests in the community, it answers to a different call. It's personal. It's driven by your needs, not ours. Welcome to American Riviera Bank, based right here in Santa Barbara with branches in Montecito and Goleta. Our customers know us for personal service, every day, every way.
You can bank on us.
Bank on us.
Bank on us!
American Riviera Bank. Bank on better.
The Foundation for Santa Barbara City College is a nonprofit organization which supports our own Santa Barbara City College. The Foundation for Santa Barbara City College, or SBCC, funds scholarships, childcare, book grants, and other programs. Without these, many students simply would not be able to attend college. There is an amazing range of academic and vocational studies offered at City College which encourage students to find their passion and their talents. As a donor to the foundation, you have the power to change lives. Please help our community college by donating to the Foundation for SBCC. Call 730-4401 or visit us at sbccfoundation.org to find out how you can help. That's 730-4401 or sbccfoundation.org.
Push-button or touch-tone telephones made their debut 58 years ago this month. The service cost extra and was available in only two cities in Pennsylvania, but it quickly caught on. In 1963, 81% of U.S. homes had telephones. That percentage grew to become almost universal, but the landline percentage is now dropping as cell phones more and more become the phone of choice. Now, 90% of American households have cell phones. Profile America is a public service of the U.S. Census Bureau.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm founded on providing thoughtful, objective, and comprehensive financial guidance for families and entities who are seeking long-term financial confidence.
And we can be reached at 805-564-1290, or you could email us at moneytalk1290@gmail.com. So Neil, before the break, we were getting into the culture of cross-country consulting that you really helped to form, but let's take a step back about your specific consulting skills. You really consult in the finance piece more than anything else when you were, before you were the leader of the consulting group, that was really your forte. And you spent some time at Freddie Mac. Tell us about Freddie Mac and your stint there and really your specialty in that finance consulting piece and payment processing, really.
So when I started my career at Arthur Andersen, my very first project was helping to assess the finance function for a real estate investment trust. And so, as you can imagine, here comes this English major, fresh out of school, trying to figure out how to do this. I had great mentors, and that project was the first of kind of a long career in what we now call finance transformation. Just helping to make the finance function better. So a lot of work with CFOs and controllers and chief accounting officers, and by extension, their IT leadership to help implement technology improvements into the finance function. So when I kind of got the opportunity to join Freddie Mac, so first of all, they were a client here. That's when I was working at Cap Advisory. Freddie Mac approached me and asked if I would consider coming on board as an employee and making the transition from consulting. At that point, coincidentally, Cap Advisory, which is the company that I mentioned earlier that was started by Eric Lynn, was going to be acquired by Navigant Consulting. And so it was kind of a natural point for me to decide, do I kind of continue on with this new company, Navigant, or do I switch over and go work for Freddie Mac as an employee. So I chose the latter only because I thought it would be good to try life on the other side, so to speak. I'd been in consulting my entire career up to that point. Our son had been born. He was about a year old. And so it kind of felt like, maybe this is a good time to try a different career. So Freddie Mac was wonderful. My role there was very similar to what I had been doing as a consultant. It was still very focused on improving the finance function within the walls of Freddie Mac. And I loved it. I worked with an amazing group of people, many of whom I'm still in touch with, world-class organization. But I realized after a couple of years of working there that I missed working in other industries. I missed working on solving different types of client challenges, working with different team members. And so, long-winded way of saying I missed consulting. I missed the very dynamic nature of what we do in consulting. And so I made the decision to switch back, and I haven't looked back since.
And when you made that switch back, that was about the time that Eric was starting Cross Country. Is that correct?
No, not quite. I switched back probably in 2008 or so when we launched Cross Country in 2011. So I was with another smaller firm between 2008 and 2011 when we started Cross Country.
So tell us about the suite of business advisory services that Cross Country Consulting provides.
So we, as I said before, I don't know if I said this before, but our focus primarily is serving the office of the CFO, to be no surprise based on kind of how I described our services earlier, my experience earlier. So first and foremost, we have an amazing team of accounting advisory professionals, people who have both really strong operational and technical accounting skills. We have a fantastic risk and compliance team, so folks who are very experienced helping clients implement controls and testing those controls, making sure that the risk environment within their company's walls is sound. We have a transformation practice, which helps take our clients through things as simple as process changes and process improvements, all the way to very complex operating model changes and the use of technology. We do have several teams that actually deploy technologies as well. And then finally, we have a cyber and privacy practice that's helping our clients with really advanced level cybersecurity protection.
In today's market, is the cyber division leading your growth?
It has been a big growth area for us. And we do see that cyber remains very high on the priority list for CFOs. It's a newer practice for us, so we've still got some work to do in terms of really getting the max, optimizing the growth of the cyber practice.
How did you deal with COVID? It's one thing to stay home if you're working in your own office and dealing with your own problems. But as a consultant, I would imagine you really have to get to the other company's offices. Did you have a problem with getting your people, or is that not true? And if it is true, did you have an issue getting your people into other companies' workspace during COVID?
The COVID days were very tough. The early COVID days were very tough. I'm so proud of the adjustments that we made as we got through the first couple of months. The short answer, Neil, to your question is, we adapted. A number of our clients, everyone had to be remote for the first, year plus. And it's only been fairly recently where we've had a few clients start to, get back to being on site in person. And even fewer of those, though, are asking our teams to be in person. So we've kind of adopted a new hybrid model where we're in site when we need to be, on site when we need to be, and remote otherwise.
You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 and FM 96.9, and we'll be right back.
It's a fact. Successful wealth management is built on strategies that focus on the big picture, take a long-term view, and establish deep and valued relationships.
Hello, I'm Diane Duva, founding partner at Arlington Financial Advisors, Santa Barbara's trusted family guide, empowering you to make more informed and confident decisions. At Arlington Financial Advisors, we bring order and balance to your financial life by monitoring and managing risk so you can focus on your work, family, and enjoying the moment. We are a fully independent firm offering strategic financial planning, estate and tax planning, and private money management. Our plans and portfolios are handcrafted using a rigorous and disciplined approach, supported by a consistent yet highly personalized client experience. Our clients look to Arlington Financial Advisors as a home away from home, a comfortable place to protect what they've accomplished while they prepare for what comes next. Please visit arlingtonfinancialadvisors.com or call me, Diane Duva, at 805-699-7300.
Come play at Ealing's Park, whether it's by yourself, as a team, with your dog, on your bike, or soaring through the sky. Come play anytime, any day. For over 25 years, the Ealing's Park Foundation has been dedicated to maintaining this beautiful open space and creating a place for the entire community to come play. Ealing's Park is a remarkable environmental example of what is possible when people care about the best parts of their community and take ownership of wonderful facilities like our park. Ealing's Park receives no financial support from any aspect of government and is completely self-supporting. So come visit the park today and support Santa Barbara's largest nonprofit park. Join the many Santa Barbarans saying, Ealing's is my park, and make it your park too. For information, call 569-5611. That's 569-5611. Or visit online at www.ealingspark.org. That's ELINGSPARK.org.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by American Riviera Bank, making your life easier with cutting-edge technology, mobile deposits, free use of every ATM machine in the country, and a level of service other banks can only dream about.
So before the break, we were talking about how cross-country adapted and really moved forward through this COVID era, and what, you know, what learnings or takeaways do you think made your business better having to you know, really adapt during that very, you know, unsure time?
Difficult time. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you asked, because I would love to spend a little bit more time talking about what happened to us and what we did during that period. So in the early days of COVID, it was obviously, you know, like every other company, we were very nervous about, you know, what was going to happen. And we did have a couple of clients that needed to end our services kind of immediately. And so we had several team members who had to roll off their clients. And what was concerning at the time is that we obviously didn't have a place to put them, because it's not as if other people were buying consulting services at the beginning of the pandemic. And so the first couple of months were very, very nerve-wracking for us. And we started doing a lot of contingency planning and what if scenarios. And one of the things that we obviously stopped doing was we stopped hiring. And kind of navigated this first couple of months, but I remember very distinctly in August of 2021, we started to receive some inbound calls from clients, and we had launched an outreach campaign, mainly just to check in with our clients and people that we knew and cared about, just to make sure that they and their families were doing well. So, you know, kind of through just staying in touch with people, we started to get a few calls and a few asks for support. And by the time September rolled around, we were kind of facing the situation where we didn't have enough people anymore. And so we knew we needed to start hiring again. So we fired up the recruiting engine, which is one of our hugest differentiators here across country. We have an amazing recruiting team, not just our recruiting professionals, but also our employees who are actively recruiting their former colleagues and friends. We have people that follow partners when we hire partners. And so, you know, we have an amazing recruiting engineer across country. So we started to fire that back up again, and kind of just in the nick of time, because from September of 2020, since September 2020, we've been hiring at a very rapid rate. And so one of the silver linings, if you will, to the pandemic, if you can say there is one for us, is that it enabled, it forced us to think about hiring nationally. prior to the pandemic, we were really only hiring in the cities where we had offices for the most part. With the pandemic, we realized, well, everyone's working remotely from everywhere. And we always had a vision of becoming a national company. You know, the name Cross Country speaks to that. So we realized, well, we need to stop just looking in the same places. Let's look in amazing markets like Chicago and Houston and Texas and Dallas and beyond. And so we started hiring people from all over the country. And so that's been a game changer for us. Now we're also serving clients all over the country, and we have a better ability to do that because of the national hiring model that we took. So I'm like I said before, I'm incredibly proud of how we handled the business during the pandemic. I think we're being very thoughtful and very careful. And when we realized we needed to start hiring again, we did. We took advantage of the opportunity, and we've had a lot of growth since then.
And so given that you've really transitioned cross-country consulting from an office-based environment to now a remote workplace, I think that also speaks volumes to the fact that you're able to continue to hold on to that culture piece as people are no longer, you know, coming to a common hub or having, you know, conversations around the water cooler anymore. It really has, I think, spoken to your or worked well with your focus towards people and starting every conversation out that way. How to companies that are looking to do something similar on the culture piece, how do you have that thread and woven through your day-to-day in a remote environment?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think we had an advantage because it was part of our DNA going into the pandemic. And I will tell you that I think being a remote employee at a company like Cross Country does come with challenges because you're not getting the same person-to-person interaction that, you know, employees sitting in the office here in Tyson's Corner get, for example. But what we try to do is make sure that we go out of our way to get to know those people the same as if they were here in person. Our leadership team members make it a point to take trips and visit our teams across the country. Once a year, we also bring our entire teams together for an in-person event. We were able to pick that back up again this year, which we were very excited to do. So we try to find ways. We do a lot of get-togethers over Zoom, just like we're doing right now. It's not quite the same, right? But you can get to know people very well if you take the time and invest in the relationship, even if it's done virtually.
So to that end, you know, I think it's important to talk about, you know, the fact that Cross Country Consulting has been featured for the 7th consecutive year on Inc. Magazine's annual 5,000 list, a prestigious ranking of the nation's fastest growing private companies. And this award was given to you in August of this year as one of the fastest growing private U.S. companies with 3-year revenue growth of 144%. How have you been able to maintain that consistent level of growth for the, you know, the last 7 years, making this list? That's an enormous amount of growth, maintaining the culture. You know, that's a huge feat. So share with us some of the tips of how you've been able to do that, because you should be super proud and really, you know, shouting it from the rooftops. That's hugely impressive.
Yeah, thank you. You know, we are really proud. It's a testament to the team. I mean, I will tell you, it is so humbling to hear the client feedback that we get on our team members. I think our consultants are, I said it before, right? We prioritize not just good, smart people with relevant experience, but also people with high EQ. And so what we hear from our clients is, wow, your team members are just such a pleasure to work with. And they know they are equipped to help us get things done. And we just want to keep them around. And that word is spread. Our brand has been built almost very much through word of mouth.
How you get new clients?
Say again.
Is that primarily how you get new clients, is through word of mouth?
It's through relationships in the market and a lot of word of mouth. So clients who, you know, decide to leave their organization and go somewhere else, they call us and bring us with them, for example. But I just want to make the point, the growth and the awards, everything that we've accomplished is just a testament to the incredible people that we have on the team.
What do you do when a client wants to take one of your employees like you did when you went to Freddie Mac?
We say no.
Yeah, but what do you do if it's a really good client? I mean, it a lot of law firms like the idea. Yep. It solidifies the relationship.
Well, I would say we never want to see our people leave to go anywhere. But if it's right for them and right for our clients, then obviously we don't stand in the way. If someone's going to leave cross country, then the next best place for them to be, in our opinion, is within a client organization or doing something that they're passionate about, right?
And how often do you find that happening?
It doesn't happen very often. As our client base continues to grow and as the company continues to grow, I think we still, we see it more often, but it's still more of the exception. I think our clients understand that we're not a staffing company. We're not out hiring people for them to then go hire. We're hiring people to keep busy on consulting engagements.
And how do you make sure, particularly as you grow, to keep the employee consistency the way it was when you had 30 employees, you now have 600, when you have 1,200. As companies get bigger, as a consultant, it's sometimes difficult to maintain the same product.
Yeah, we really have to depend on our leaders to ensure that they're bringing the same level of quality assurance across all of our engagements. And we have a lot of leaders who have grown up here at Cross Country. They started their careers with us when they were senior consultants. They're now directors, and they know the standards that we have and helped bring that level of assurance to all of our engagements.
You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 and FM 96.9, and we'll be right back with our final segment.
For prospective homebuyers, one of the most important steps of the loan process is getting clear and honest information from someone who will speak plainly and truthfully about loan programs and options.
I'm Kelly Marsh, Vice President, California of Cornerstone Home Lending, where our highly skilled and experienced team takes great pride in helping clients obtain home financing with honest, knowledgeable, fast, friendly, and efficient service. As a Santa Barbara native who has spent the past 20 years in the mortgage industry and has closed over 4,000 loans, I'd appreciate the opportunity to earn your business and invite you to visit thekellymarshteam.com or call my office at 805-563-1100 to learn more about how Cornerstone Home Lending can help you determine the best way to manage mortgage debt to achieve a more stable financial future.
Licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. California Residential Mortgage Lending Act license number 41DB072220. California Financial Lending Law license number 60DB072528. Loan originator NMLS number 245822. Not a commitment to loan. Equal housing opportunity.
When a bank is owned by the community and invests in the community, it answers to a different call. It's personal. It's driven by your needs, not ours. Welcome to American Riviera Bank, based right here in Santa Barbara with branches in Montecito and Goleta. Our customers know us for personal service every day, every way.
You can bank on us.
Bank on us.
Bank on us!
American Riviera Bank. Bank on better.
We are your pets, and this song's dedicated to those people who don't have health insurance yet.
Enroll, we say. We want you to be okay. Enroll, we say. Take care, people, for goodness sake.
Health insurance is now affordable and covers prescriptions, hospitalizations, and preventive care. Visit getcoveredamerica.org to learn more.
And take care, people.
Brought to you by Get Covered America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm founded on providing thoughtful, objective, and comprehensive financial guidance for families and entities who are seeking long-term financial confidence.
And so, Neil, we were talking before about your amazing growth at Cross Country Consulting of 144%, and you've got this award for the last 7 years with Inc. Magazine's 500 prestigious rankings of the nation's fastest growing private companies. Now, during the course of that, you've also done acquisitions of other consulting firms, and you've also spun off homegrown business lines within your company. Why would you do either? And you know, I can't help but to think the spinoff, how are you still able to maintain that level of growth? It's just amazing to me.
So we did one acquisition last year. So just to clarify, we've only done one. It was for one of our technology practice areas. And it was kind of a small but very mighty team of deployment specialists. And so I think that acquisition was a good example of finding a firm that was doing work very similar to what we were doing. It gave us the ability to combine our teams and bring even more, you know, horsepower to the market.
So I've got to imagine in the consulting realm, you're really, when you do an acquisition, you're doing it for the people that are part of that team. Somebody that aligns with your same core values and yes. way of doing business.
Yes, absolutely. And we were so delighted to find this company and see the alignment in our core values and our culture, as well as, you know, in the skill sets and technologies that they work with. So it was a great match. You know, I think from our experience, the onboarding of that team was very successful. And there's obviously things that we all would do differently now in hindsight, but I think overall it's been a very successful, you know, marriage of our two companies. On the flip side, you mentioned we did launch one of our service lines into its own business earlier this year. And you know, the high level reason for doing that was to give that practice the platform that they needed for future growth and investment. So kind of speaking in vagaries now, but you know, the profile for the type of technology deployment work that that team was doing is different than the profile that the rest of the firm has in terms of revenue and profitability. And probably more importantly, this particular practice, in order to continue to achieve the levels of growth that it needed, really had kind of a very different investment need. And on the flip side, you know, the rest of the business also had, as you can imagine and appreciate, its own investment needs. And so the decision to launch that company or that practice into its own company was really driven by the desire to give each platform its ability to make the investments that each company needed going forward. So to answer your question about kind of which was harder, I would say they're both challenging in their own ways, but obviously we had built a lot of relationships with the team that got launched into its own company, and you know, kind of the emotional piece of that was hard. It was really hard to, you know, to say farewell and wish that team well, but we actually still work together in the market. We have a commercial business agreement in place between the two companies, and so, you know, we're not under the same roof, so to speak, anymore, but we do still work very closely together in the market.
Well, thank you, Neil Smith from Cross Country Consulting. It was really fascinating, and I don't know if any companies here. Well, I'm sure there are companies here that need help, and
it's like every company,
here, you may want to give them a call. Cross Country Consulting. Thank you so much, and thank you all for listening. You've been listening to Money Talk, and we'll see you all next week.